Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk at 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Steve Bloom, who is running for Congress, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Andy Clark of Friends of Raystown Lake, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood.
They had a great format. We answered some questions, and it's going to be on video and good stuff.
You're a local boy. You just told me a minute ago before we went on the air that you lived in Delaware County for a while, and then you lived in you're born in upstate New York, and you lived in Michigan. Where in Michigan?
We lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan for a short while back when I was a kid, and then we moved back to Pennsylvania. I grew up in the southeastern part of the state, went to Penn State, fell in
love.
So
you didn't go to Michigan? That's
no,
a beautiful spot there in Ann Arbor. Wow.
It is, but I love Penn State, and graduated from Penn State with a degree in ag economics.
Right.
And wanted to stay in the rural part of Pennsylvania, and so I was able to locate with my, at that time, newlywed wife, Sharon, and we settled in the Carlisle area in Cumberland County.
Is your family a farming family?
Two generations back, my great-grandparents actually were dairy farmers up in Connecticut.
Right.
And I have a lot of memories of the family farm as a little kid, and then their barn burnt, and they weren't in a position to rebuild, so they got out of the farming business at that time. But it made a mark on me, and I was interested in agriculture, and again, when I went to Penn State, decided to pursue that degree in agricultural economics, which has served me so well in understanding really how the world works. Economics and agriculture are key. Obviously, food security is the number one survival need for human beings, so that's huge. People often forget it. We take it for granted. But agriculture is absolutely critically important. And then economics really defines, you know, how do we make efficient use of our scarce resources as human beings? So two key things.
Well, Penn State, of course, is a killer school for agriculture, period.
Yes.
It started out as the Pennsylvania Farm High School or something like that.
Farmers High School, yep.
Farmers
and
High
it was
school,
the original land grant school, which is so still super, about agriculture. So
well, all these blue and white people are very prevalent here. I've noticed that since I've been up in this part of the world. Everyone I've talked to has told me they're a conservative Christian. I just can't get over how many people have told me that during these series of interviews. And what is so special about that for you? Since you also claim that in your bio.
Yes. Interesting that you say everyone's been bringing that up. I came to faith as an adult. I wasn't raised in a church-going household. So for me, after I married my wife, who was a believer, I began attending church. And in my 20s, I had a moment of realizing that, what does God's grace mean for me, for me, Steve Bloom? And I realized that I was a sinner in need of forgiveness. And so I dedicated my life to Jesus Christ in a quiet spot. It wasn't in a big public setting. It was just me. I was reading my Bible. I was actually preparing to talk about a subject, and I was getting into the topic of grace. And I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so I'm a born-again believer. That is, to me, I mean, trying to follow Christ is a daily challenge. None of us ever live up to it. We fall down constantly, and the beauty of Christianity is that you can go back to God and say, look, I messed up again, and he will forgive you again. And that forgiveness, that mercy is critical for me. I have a personal mission statement apart from my legislative agenda and my political agenda, serving as I am as a Christian in the political realm. It's part of my daily prayer. I pray Lord willing, to serve in the public square as a loving witness for Jesus Christ and an effective champion for life and liberty.
You are preparing to go into probably the worst place on planet Earth for a conservative Christian, and I've mentioned this to others. The Congress of the United States, I think all the voters feel, is dysfunctional, it's corrupt, a scandal almost every day coming out of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. I just want to know if you think you're going to be tough enough to go down there and deal with those people.
I had a pretty low opinion of the Harrisburg culture and the situation in Pennsylvania's capital, which is notoriously one of the most corrupt capitals in the nation. It's one of the top four or five for corruption.
Yeah, but it's not like the Congress where they use real guns.
But it's serious business. Yeah. And I've experienced the arm twisting and the pressure, the threats, the intimidation, the attempts to persuade you, to tempt you to do the wrong thing. And for 7.5 years, I've stood up to that. I got in trouble with even a Republican governor. When Governor Tom Corbett tried to raise the gasoline tax, I felt it was the wrong thing to do, the wrong way to approach trying to fund our infrastructure. And that tax, I fought Governor Corbett, I fought my legislative leaders, and they did. They did the arm twisting, they did the stuff they do, and I was able to hold up under that, and I have consistently since then. It's not always easy. I'm not always a favorite of the party insiders because of that. I've been told different times that you're going to never see another one of your bills pass the Senate, things of that nature. But you know what? I've worked hard, and I've been able to get my bills passed anyway. I just recently, earlier this week, I got an important tax-saving bill for small businesses, actually through the House on a 188-2 vote. Everyone voted for it except for two of the Democrats, but a strong bipartisan vote. And I've had that kind of track record. I've been able to get important things done while still standing up for those values that we talked about, the social and fiscally conservative values.
I think the voter could ask fairly that the whole reason that we're now talking to you in the 13th Congressional District is because the 9th Congressional District went away because the court of Pennsylvania said it shouldn't exist anymore and we should have a new one. I thought that was the job of the legislature. What happened here?
Unprecedented situation. And
I mean, what did you do in the legislature to try to stop this?
We as a legislature have very little ability to stop it other than to file suit, which we did. Our legislative leadership team filed suit in the Pennsylvania courts, and of course those suits were ultimately rejected and then filed additional suits in the federal courts. The federal courts, Justice Alito, one of the most conservative U.S. Supreme Court justices, kicked the case out and said, no, we're not going to change anything the PA Supreme Court did. So we're left with a difficult situation in order to move forward with these elections this year. Obviously, it's the new map. There's no alternative. Moving forward, we are looking at ways to essentially reassert our authority against the Supreme Court. And really the biggest tool we have as a legislature is the power of the purse. And when we enact their budget is really the only way we can control the outcome of what happens on the Supreme Court. And we can exert authority or pressure on them. But it's the system our founders designed. They designed a system of checks and balances with three co-equal branches: executive, legislature, and judicial. And it's the tension that the founders wanted us to be in. I don't like the way it unfolded. I don't think it's appropriate. I think they did overstep their bounds. But we also are a nation of laws, and we've got to follow that. So here we are. I was running in a completely different congressional district. It was called the 11th District. It extended from Cumberland County northeastward all the way up to the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. It included 9 counties. And now, thanks to that shocking Supreme Court decision, my home is in the 13th Congressional District, which runs eastward and southward from Cumberland County through 9 other counties, and none of those 9 counties are in common with the other 8 counties I had been running in before, except for Cumberland County. So I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage in this race in that other candidates have been running for several months before I have, but at the same time, it's a great district. It's a solid conservative district. I think it does really nicely match up with my conservative values. I feel like I have a lot in common with the folks here, and I stand for the same things they do. I care about a lot of the same things they do, and so I'm very encouraged with the reception I've received, even though I'm essentially a bit of a latecomer to the race. People have been exceedingly kind throughout the district. I've traveled around and received a warm reception everywhere, and I'm excited about the possibilities.
One of your colleagues said that actually the 13th District might be better in many ways because it has more of a conservative base than the old one.
It's
so we
now,
shall
it's
see.
Now probably the single most conservative congressional district in Pennsylvania.
Well, perhaps all of you will do well because of that. The Schusters, both senior and junior, very popular in the ninth. And I know that because they kept reelecting them. Now, my question, I guess, to you, Steve Bloom, is I know you don't want to be another Schuster. No one's agreed to do that. But they did do a good job, I think, of representing the region. They got the more pork than anybody could possibly eat, roads and all this kind of stuff. So what is your main agenda? Maybe it won't be roads. What do you really want to do your first day in there?
I mean, my top issues are surrounding the economic issues, the fiscal irresponsibility. I'm very troubled by what we're doing to our kids and our grandchildren and even our great-grandchildren and beyond, our future generations, by continuing to pile up this irresponsible debt at the federal level. It's shocking, it's disturbing, it's troubling, and it's dangerous. It can weaken us as a country. So the probably one of the top three issues for me is dealing with reining in the out-of-control spending, bringing back sanity to the spending levels in Washington. Other top issues obviously would include making sure we have a strong military and secure borders. We can't exist as a nation, again, for our kids, our grandkids, and beyond, if we don't have basic security. So making sure that the only immigrants that are coming to America are lawful immigrants, folks who are following the law, not rewarding those who would break the law, not rewarding cities that claim to be sanctuary cities where the laws of the United States somehow don't apply. Those are things we can't abide with. We can't allow that to happen. And again, we need a strong military.
Do you think this whole matter today is unfair to the people who are coming in legally? I mean, all these people are stacked up.
Well, that's the thing. You have illegal
PhDs that can't get into the country, and
you have people going and breaking the law, who get moved in line in front of those who are trying to follow the law, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
and it's unfair too. It's just basically patently unfair, and folks who deserve to be here aren't allowed, and those who don't deserve to be are here, and that's just not right.
You're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk 1310 WBFD. My guest this morning is Steve Bloom, and we are talking to him on a bloomingly beautiful day here in Somerset County at the Stairs Restaurant. I learned why they call it the Stairs. The woman who owned the store's name was Stairs, and that's why it's called Stairs.
So then she
ultimately named her pizza after herself. We'll give you a whole rundown on the pizza later on, but maybe not on this show.
We'll try some of that as soon as we're done.
When we come back, we are going to learn a little bit about how Steve is going to cope with going to Washington if he ends up being successful when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to the Stairs Pizza Restaurant here on Columbia Avenue in downtown Somerset, and I'm with congressional candidate Steve Bloom. Steve, how do you like the president?
Well, first and foremost, I voted for President Trump. I had the privilege when President Trump came to Cumberland County on the campaign trail and had a large rally. I was invited to give the invocation for that Trump rally, and I stood up there, and seriously, one of the highlights of my life was to stand there in front of that electric, packed auditorium and say a prayer. And I gave a very heartfelt, sincere prayer for the president. And of course, he hadn't been elected president yet. And so that if he was in fact elected, that God would equip him to do the job. Certainly, President Trump is unconventional. Certainly, he's done things differently than other presidents. But look at what he's already gotten done, and it's amazing and it's very positive. You look at the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, long, long overdue to reduce the tax burden on hardworking Americans. And president after president failed to do anything about that. Somehow, despite all the sometime outward appearance of confusion and chaos, President Trump got that done. Look at Justice Gorsuch on the U.S. Supreme Court, an excellent, solid conservative jurist who is going to serve us well as conservatives for the foreseeable future. Wonderful pick for the Supreme Court, and President Trump has appointed multiple similar solid conservative justices and judges to the federal court system throughout the country. Huge, huge progress there. Ending ridiculous, job-killing, burdensome, unnecessary regulations. President Trump has eliminated 22 old regulations for every new regulation enacted. Absolutely cleaning up the playing field and making the playing field more fair again for our small businesses, our manufacturers, our hardworking farmers, people who are being crushed by the oppressive weight of federal regulation. President Trump has made a tremendous difference in resolving that problem and ending the over-regulation nightmare that the country's faced. He's an unconventional president. I don't know what the historians will say about him, but I believe he's getting things done that no other Republican president would even be able to get done.
You know when I knew he was going to win? I went to the rally in Johnstown with my wife. I watched thousands of screaming Union Democrats. And out in the back, because I'm in the media, I saw a remote truck, a television remote truck. And on the side it said NHK. You know what NHK is? That's the Japanese television network. And I thought if the Japanese flew a remote truck to the United States to watch President Trump, we probably have a winner here.
One of the things that's troubled me, again, I was elected as a state rep in 2010, and I've been in the battle in Harrisburg to protect our taxpayers. And I've seen so many times where even though many members of labor unions are Democrats and their leaders are often aligned with some of the left-wing policies of the Democrats, you know, radical environmentalism, things that are killing jobs, it made no sense. Why would a union guy whose job depends on being able to work in Pennsylvania support the same party that's trying to put that business that he works at out of work through over-regulation, through ridiculous environmental regulations that are hurting those businesses? And it was about time that a lot of these Democrats finally realized they could break away from that left-leaning Democratic agenda and actually support American jobs, American energy, the things that we've been standing for so long. And I'm glad to see them coming over and voting for President Trump and hopefully voting for other good, solid Republican candidates who will help them jobs.
Have you seen evidence of this while on your campaign trail of the Democrats?
I've talked to Democrats, and in fact, I've actually talked to a couple Democrats who've switched parties, who've now come over to Republican side. So I think you're going to see that. It's probably a long-term trend in Pennsylvania that a lot of folks are waking up and realizing the Democratic Party has been no friend of theirs and has certainly been no friend of their good jobs. And so it's about time that they realize that a conservative agenda, a conservative worldview is actually going to be the thing that preserves those great Pennsylvania jobs that we need.
It's not my attempt to put a cloud over your nice sunny day that we have here, but I want you to go with me a little scenario. Okay, you're now Congressman Bloom. You've just arrived in the Congress, and you look up and you see the Speaker of the House is Nancy Pelosi. What do you do?
I probably have to take a deep breath, shake my head, ask God why he put me here, but it's a fear. It's a real fear. Yeah. I mean, that's something that we all have to fight for this election cycle to make sure we hold the House and the Senate in Republican control. But, I mean, Nancy Pelosi as Speaker would certainly be troubling, but I would do the same thing that I've been doing with working with Governor Wolf, which is fight him at every turn. I'd have to fight her at every turn to try to make sure that the policies, that the liberal policies she's trying to impose on our country are not enacted. And just like I fought Governor Wolf on his tax hike proposals and his ridiculous spending proposals, and been largely successful, by the way, by teaming up with my solid conservative colleagues, we've stopped most of Governor Wolf's agenda. We can do the same against Nancy Pelosi if we have to.
I think a lot of voters, especially older folks like myself, remember the days when Ronald Reagan had a somewhat cordial relationship with then Massachusetts Congressman Tip O'Neill, who was Speaker of the House. And as history goes on, the years go on, it seems it was a lot more friendly than it may have really been. But they were able to work together. And Tip O'Neill was about the most, you know, politician's politician ever was. I mean, the guy was from Massachusetts. They invented politics up there. So do you ever see Congress getting to the point where they can actually work with each other somehow on some level at some point?
I mean, hard to say, because sometimes working together is good and sometimes it isn't. if working together means just rolling over and allowing the liberal agenda to move forward, there's no benefit to that. There's no win there for anyone. I'd rather stand up and stop it. Some of the most important things we do as elected officials is stop bad policy. You don't get a lot of credit for that usually, and that doesn't matter. It's key to stop bad policy. And so if that's what we have to do, and if there's gridlock because of it, so be it. By the same token, I've been able to get a lot of good stuff done on a bipartisan basis in Pennsylvania, even though I'm known as a very conservative guy. I always maintain good relationships on a personal level with folks. I'm happy to be friends with a Democrat as long as they don't expect me to vote their way on Democratic agenda items. But, you know, I've just this week, I've got a bill passed the House 188-2. All the Democrats went with me, even though I'm known as a very conservative Republican legislator. I've had my bill that ended the death tax on Pennsylvania family farms that passed unanimously through the House and Senate in Pennsylvania. I've had that happen numerous times with my bills that have been bipartisan bills for good, solid conservative agenda items. By maintaining respect and friendships with folks, even though I would never roll over and let them have their way with that left-leaning agenda in terms of impact on the taxpayers of Pennsylvania or the country.
But there's something that's happened to the Democratic Party. My first interest in politics, it was really a long time ago, was the candidacy of Barry Goldwater. And it was Barry Goldwater versus Johnson after Kennedy had been killed. And Kennedy, a Democrat, was a pro-defense, low-taxes Democrat. And if he were around today, they'd be calling him a radical right-wing nutcase or something.
I was a little kid in the 60s. Yeah. I'm old enough to be. I was a little kid, but I don't remember the Kennedy presidency. But I've watched some of his press conferences over the years that he gave when he was president. And if you did a blind test and said, who is this guy saying these things, you would say, some conservative Republican, maybe Ronald Reagan.
Well, he actually attacked Nixon as a candidate over defense issues, claiming he was tougher on the Russians than the Nixon was.
And Kennedy talked about taxes and the importance of keeping taxes low so that businesses could prosper and jobs could grow and people can have a future.
I mean, the
Democrats got hijacked by the radical social agenda, and I think that's really what shifted them away from the common sense views that most of us as conservatives share.
You mentioned earlier that economics is your forte, but what is the most important issue for you in the 13th congressional district today? You think, well, if you get there tomorrow, I mean, what's going to be your job one, you think?
Well, again, as I mentioned, it's the out of control spending and the out of control debt is the thing that is also going to destroy jobs in this district if we don't stop it. And that's what comes home to roost. We can't compete with other countries in the world if we're having to borrow money from them on their terms. We can't keep our American jobs if we're a weak nation that doesn't have the ability to pay for the things we need. And so, although talking about the economy isn't necessarily the most exciting topic, talking about the out-of-control, multi-trillion-dollar federal debt isn't the most exciting topic, it's the topic that's ultimately going to either make a person in Bedford County or Somerset County be able to have a good job or not. And that's what it comes down to. We've got to get this under control so we don't deprive our kids and our grandkids of their potential future here in Pennsylvania.
Looks like the Chinese winked a little bit last week when they responded to President Trump's tariff issue. Are you in favor of this?
Well, there's another area where President Trump is unconventional, but possibly very effective. He's talking about doing a lot of things in terms of international trade that haven't been talked about in a long time. And it's interesting because he's bringing those things up. Other countries are beginning to listen. Now, we all know that China has been treating us in an unfair manner for decades, dumping products on our marketplace where, let's say Chinese steel, for example, they can make that Chinese steel, first of all, with massive government subsidies in China. So it's very cheap at the get-go, with very little environmental regulation, so the environment's being destroyed in the process, with very little safety regulation, so workers are being killed and injured and made sick on the job, and then they bring that steel over here and sell it for such a low price that an American steel company can't compete. That's wrong. That's unjust. And even if you take a strictly free marketplace economic worldview, that's a market failure. China's not dealing. They're masking over the negative externalities of production of that steel. It's good to address that. It's actually a fair position and a fair trade position, a free trade position, to make sure that the playing field is level for all the countries involved. I applaud President Trump for standing up to them. And as you said, it looks like they're starting to blink. And that's what we need. And that's dealing from strength rather than dealing from weakness.
I read a very interesting editorial in the newsletter that comes around from Hillsdale College. And the man that was in the news said, the Chinese actually are the last people on Earth that want a trade war. They need us too much.
They depend on our market.
Yeah.
Their people depend on our market. And that's the other thing that President Trump understands, because he's a business guy. He understands, he can look at an opponent across the table and understand where that person's strengths and weaknesses are. And he understands the Chinese, they can talk, they can bluster a lot. At the bottom, at the end of the day, the Chinese need American consumers or their economy will collapse.
Do you agree with the president that the defense posture has to be changed, especially in the South China Sea, places like that?
The defense posture needs to be changed globally. I have the privilege now in my state house district of representing the area that includes the United States Army War College. And for the last 8 years, I've been able to talk to, on a across-the-table basis, just like you and I are sitting here today, literal top generals in the United States, people who know this stuff and live it, breathe it, understand it. And I've been told on multiple occasions that our military is currently suffering from a lack of adequate funding and manpower that we need to properly be able to project our strength around the globe. And it's worrisome to me. When I talk about strengthening and rebuilding our military, I realize how serious that is. I know that's the first thing we talked about at the beginning of this interview. If we don't have national security, we have nothing. We don't have economic security. We don't have any kind of future for our kids. And that's critical, and it's a real problem that we've got to address. We can't have a hollow, weak military. And Obama did that to the military over the past 8 years.
Well, not only that, but there's great fear among the military today because there's more social engineering going on than there is defense preparation. They're so paranoid about protecting everything from LGBT, I don't know the letters, rights to whatever, as opposed to training sailors and soldiers how to do the job.
Well, it's, you know, we have a military for one reason, and that's to protect our national security. It's something the founders envisioned. They understand that you need that. It's part of the core role of government to provide for the national defense, and that should be the mission, providing for the national defense.
Anything we missed here? We're almost out of time. Give me your 30-second elevator speech on why we should collect you as a congressman.
Well, let me just talk about very briefly. I have an awesome wife. We've been married for 33 years. We have three grown children. My oldest is married.
You're not old enough for that.
That's what everybody says. My oldest is married. He's got three sons. So we have three grandboys, and there's a fourth on the way. And I've been incredibly blessed by this country. And I want to give what I can back to serve the people of this district and defend our shared conservative values.
Well, Steve Bloom, thank you very much. I've enjoyed speaking with you. This show runs every Saturday, and we do a variety of topics. We only do the elected officials and the politicians during the elections. And so most of the time we try to avoid you guys because we like to talk to real people. But we've really enjoyed talking to you. So thank you very, very much. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, for every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.